How do you mean that?
Well, I mean that there are the colors and the beauties, the designs, the beautiful way things appear. People themselves, dull people that I thought dull, appear fascinating, interesting, mysterious, wonderful. But that's only the beginning.
Welcome to Strange People, Weird Worlds. Let's get this show started.
Anyways, how about those Packers?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Nobody cares.
Oh, man. You know,
there's one person that cares.
They almost gave me a fucking... Two. There's two people.
Oh, you're a Packers fan?
Oh, yeah.
That was a good game. I am now.
Did you win?
Yeah, last minute. Okay. We came back from a 20-point deficit in the fourth quarter.
Fuck yeah.
Aaron Rodgers played it on 1 foot.
What?
Yeah, he like injured his knee in the first half, and then he was gone for most of the game, but he came back and
he didn't play it off. Yeah, one foot. He's just talking about his quarterback like he's Jesus.
Yeah, he does.
He
that.
Is.
Mm-hmm. He's close to it. Goddamn close to it.
He's amazing.
Well, that's pretty dope. Broncos won.
Beat the Seahawks.
Yeah, Bills got absolutely annihilated.
Surprise.
So we're on the same track as usual.
Yeah.
Bro, they didn't throw to my boy Charles Clay at all,
yeah,
bro.
That's it.
Huh? They didn't throw to my boy Charles Clay at all.
I stopped watching it. Okay. Yeah. I was just like, I'm done with this. So I didn't even really.
Well, did Josh Allen play?
Yeah, they put him in.
How was he?
They still lost ridiculously.
I mean, but like, how was he like? Despite that, like, does he seem competent?
I don't know, because it was in towards the end of the game that I wasn't watching. I was just like a typical Buffalo.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, happy football season to any of you out there listening to, or watching football or listening, mm-hmm. whatever. Anyways, welcome to Strange People.
Oh yeah, who's playing tonight? Monday Night Football.
Raiders play, I know that.
I know that, I think the Rams play the Raiders, and there's another game too.
Oh, Rams, Raiders?
Yeah, yeah. Rams, Raiders.
Ooh, that would be kind of a cool
I think
game
the Rams
see.
Are going to win their division this year.
I agree.
Yeah.
Seahawks and 49ers got whooped, so if they win tonight, they'll be ahead.
When does and hockey season starts pretty soon, too, right?
I don't know.
No. I think in like a month, yeah.
I think so.
I think it's this month.
Is it this month?
Yeah. I think it's like the end of this month.
Yeah, hockey's like baseball. It's like
they got like 80 something
fucking
games.
Long. Yeah,
it's too long.
It's no, it's half of baseball.
It's half of baseball, and it's still fucking long.
Yeah, think about that. Yeah. Like it's a long season. It's 80 something games, but that's only half of baseball. Yeah.
If you count like spring training and everything for baseball, it's baseball's almost games. Year round.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyways, as I was saying, welcome to Strange People, Weird Worlds. My name is Greg Tanner. With me, as always, is Josh Hart, Steve McMorrow. And if you've been paying attention to our shenanigans, I know we said we're not doing guests anymore last week, but this was our last scheduled guest, and it's everybody's favorite.
And I live here, so I'd come in whether you want me or not.
And we're surrounded by animals, too.
Yeah, so as usual,
which is appropriate
when me and Miranda are doing the podcast together, this room's just a fucking zoo full of animals because we can't lock them out.
We have four?
Yeah, there's four in here right now.
Three now.
Possibly five, yeah. Cats are ruined. One of the cats took a big stinky shit right before you guys got here, too, so that was nice.
Cool. Thank you for that.
Yeah. We're moving the cat box soon, though, so I won't be in the recording studio anymore. That'll be nice.
Bro, I saw this thing at my friend's house. Yeah. They bought this fucking, it's like a vase-looking thing, but it's actually a fucking litter box.
And
it's,
vase?
It's like a plant holder, like vase type thing. So it has a big plant like on top of it.
Oh.
Like a pot, sorry. Like a plant pot. Yeah, pot plant.
Yeah.
Potted plant.
Looks like P-box. A potted plant. P-box potted plant.
Oh, our cats are special because our little girl refuses to bury her shit. She's too much of a lady to consider it. And then our boy cat sprays, and he loves to dig in the litter box.
Which you guys actually heard on the podcast
favorite thing
last
in
week.
The world.
He was thrashing in the litter box.
He will dig for hours.
Yeah, he loves that
he
shit.
He just hangs out in there and digs.
Oh, there
What's
you
up,
go.
Dude?
So, anyways, speaking of wild animals, I believe that's what we're talking about today, right, Miranda? Miranda's gonna be kind of leading the show today, guys.
Well, that's why you said appropriate.
Hmm.
That's why you said appropriate when I mentioned the animals. You're like,
kind of
appropriate.
Yeah. Today's episode is focused on some animals. Although, disclaimer, I did a really shitty job of preparing myself for this week's show. Well, thank you, Josh.
It's okay.
So we're going to muddle through this.
The worse people do when I'm not running the show, the better it looks when I run the show.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you, guys.
There you go.
You're welcome.
um, So we'll start off with the source material. This article is called "Are We Driving Elephants Crazy?"
Didn't you have an opening topic for us?
Well, first I want to give you some context.
Okay.
This article was written in 2006. It's from the New York Times Magazine. It was written by a man named Charles Siebert. I don't remember when I read... I mean, I read this the year it came out.
She's trying to show me up with sources and fancy things like that.
I just remember the story of it really touched me. I, you know, growing up, can't say elephants were really my favorite animal. I didn't know much about them. But reading this article, this author really...
They're smart as shit, I know that.
I mean, you can just really relate to them, and I had no idea. So back in 2006, I cut this article out and I saved it, and Greg and I were kind of brainstorming episode ideas a few weeks ago, and I was telling him about this article and how much it meant to me, so I wanted to talk about elephants today, specifically elephants suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, what are we doing to their habitat, just some kind of an interesting topic. But to get started today, I don't actually know how any of you guys feel about environmentalism. What are your views on animal rights? Do you care? I mean, there's no wrong answers here. Is it something you care about? Is it something you've thought about? As much as I love this article, I can't say that I'm like a eco-warrior out there, you know, fighting for animal rights. Although this last week of diving into this subject has really opened my heart to donating and possibly getting more involved. So where are you guys at on the subject of environmentalism and animal rights?
You know, little things where you can. Like, I know with our diet, like, we try to avoid that palm oil because it hurts monkeys or something like that.
It does. Palm oil destroys the habitat of orangutans.
Yeah, so we've been avoiding that. I am aboard the no straw thing right now for... not having turtles have straws up their nose, so I'm trying to...
That's just a ridiculous waste of plastic. Yeah. Like, do you need a straw for?
Yeah, so I'm trying to be more conscious of that at work and things like that. Not giving people straws. When I get repeat drinks from the bar, I'm not re-strawing that one.
Like a bendy straw for, like, a little kid, can see.
That's about it, yeah. Other than that, you know, like the zoo issue, I've always been torn on because I totally understand, you know, like you're keeping something in captivity and that can be bad for it, or that can be, you know, like we just adopted Carmen because she spent the first year of her life in a kennel and she was depressed, you know, and I could see that being the same thing. On the other side, I'm an American and I love going to the zoo and looking at things that...
aren't there some zoos, though, that... They're like rescued, like you're seeing like rescued animals, or for some reason they are not in the wild for like a good reason.
Some zoos do that. Like the last time I was at the zoo, I saw a bald eagle that could no longer take care of itself because it lost a certain amount of like wing.
Right, so they're kind of taking care of it. You can't take care of it in the wild, so instead they'll bring it and educate people.
Yeah, and so that's the other side where I see a positive.
There are zoos like that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But, like, the zoo in Las Vegas, that's a terrible zoo. It should not be there. There's one lion, and he's bone skinny, and it's fucking 120 degrees all the time. Like, there's not many animals that are meant to be in 120 degrees all the time. So in Las Vegas, if you want to have a zoo of desert tortoise and jackrabbits and whatever the fuck else lives.
Is tortoise plural?
I have no idea. I think tortoises. I just made that up.
But I like tortoise.
It sounded fun.
Tortoise does sound bad. It sounds like a better word. Yeah.
It makes me hungry because it sounds like tortoise. Yeah.
And even those are protected. I had a pet desert tortoise when I was little because I lived on the outskirts of Vegas where they're kind of building some new homes. So they were kind of being uprooted from their environment. So we just found one and I kept it in my backyard and he burrowed around and made holes. And like a year later, he just burrowed out one day. And I didn't have a turtle anymore. Yeah.
Bye.
I got the feels for the animals, you know. Obviously, you know I'm an animal lover. I have five in my fucking house. And
you're probably one of the best human beings towards animals. I mean, I've...
Do you find that comes from your Native American background?
I think so.
I would think so.
Are you being serious?
Oh, no, 100%. Yeah, no. Yeah, Native Americans.
So... like,
I
have immense respect for genetically.
When I used to do house alarms in Las
Vegas. No, that's culture. That's not a
I want to give Greg credit here, though. It's just, I would say it's his sweet soul that make. I mean, that's my just sweet who Native Greg American is. Soul.
There you go.
No, you're saying it as like a slight against him.
No,
no, I just think that's a funny thing to say that Greg was genetically bred.
I would also say that I had the same thing.
Yeah. Like, so I used to do house alarms in Vegas, and I'd be like sitting on the ground wiring something in the wall, and a cat would come crawl on my lap, or a dog would be laying right next to me, and the owners of the house would walk up and be like, oh my God, like he hates everybody. I can't believe they're laying here right
but
now.
I don't think that's because you have Native American blood. I think
I don't think that's what
it's about. Are you sure? Because the other day,
that's how it came out.
The other day I saw somebody throw a piece of trash on the highway, and one tear fell right out of my eye. You might not be old enough to get that joke.
Well, that's a good commercial.
Yeah.
No, I was just saying he might have more empathy towards animals.
I could see it being in your culture.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
But
that's why
I said culture. The fact that animals are naturally drawn to Greg, I'm not going to argue, is because he has Native American blood.
Oh, no, I was saying...
Blood.
Oh, my God, you're taking this like a slave. I was saying his empathy towards animals because of his culture.
No, because I would argue that Greg wasn't raised in his culture as deeply as other people are. He is Native American, but that doesn't mean he was raised around his tribe or that
I wasn't offended, like trying to offend him.
I'm certainly not offended.
She's just not.
I just like
that.
Arguing with you.
Yeah. She's just being a Steve.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Nice.
So you just got Steve's, bro.
No, I don't think that's it at all. Yeah. I think she's just trying to win before.
I'm arguing for a clear definition.
Absolutely. Miranda is right. I was not raised with any of my culture, not very much at all. I know three words from my tribe's language. I was always aware. Okay. I was always aware of it, and I showed more interest in it than my cousins and my sister and things like that.
And I don't
like
want to take that away from you. You've certainly done research into your tribe.
Absolutely. I'm just agreeing with Steve because I always like to joke around about the magic in my blood. My grandfather on my dad's side, my white grandpa, always said Indian people were magical, and he loved my mom when he met her and all that kind of stuff. But I always tell people, I know when it's going to rain and I have a bond with animals and things like that. It also might be the Sasquatch blood running through me too, because that's the other part.
I just meant the empathy towards animals, but I can see how somebody would be really upset by that. That's the PC culture. We're in.
Anyways,
Josh.
How are you, Josh?
Well, I feel like all animals deserve to be respected to like a certain extent. I feel like they all have their place in our keeping of our place on top of the animal kingdom.
It's coming from the guy who wants to fight every one of them.
Yeah, it's a big fight.
So I'm saying
wants to fight a bear. So
I feel like unnecessary poaching for stupid shit like that.
Like the fucking Jimmy John guy.
But I was about to say this episode's brought to you by Jimmy John's.
Yep.
But psych.
What? What are we talking about?
The owner of Jimmy John's he's a poacher. He killed the last white rhino and
what?
He's a big game hunter. He's a trophy hunter.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, that's why.
Oh,
and
God,
there was a picture of him being butt ass naked on some animal. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, that's.
But yeah, it was weird.
I missed that picture.
That's why we don't eat at Jimmy John's.
Anyways, Jimmy John's is fire. No,
I do.
Wrong.
Yeah,
I don't think it's that good.
I like the bread, but besides
the
point,
people
deliver.
Won't stand against these things. I'm telling you, he knows that about Jimmy John's, but still will eat there. Yeah. It's just like Chick-fil-A.
It's not like I'm like
people are the same with Chick-fil-A. If you're putting out a good product, you can be openly discriminatory or inhumane when it comes to animals, and people will still buy your products.
Hey, to be fair, this is America.
100%. I'm not saying one way or the other right now.
Because I don't eat at Jimmy John's, but damn it, I do.
I'm
love
just saying,
that
you're not gonna you're not gonna boycott your racist or sexist cousin. It's still your cousin, and you're like, hey, you're still kind of good, but you're kind of a piece of shit at the same time.
I guess I would just. There are other things I can choose to do with my time and energy that might help animals more than me not eating a Jimmy John's sandwich.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's not like I'm seeking out Jimmy John's. It's just if it's there, I'm I'm not going to not eat it.
I'm just more on the page of I don't feel supporting that particular man.
Exactly. So, but
a lot of times, it's a franchise.
Yeah.
Some goes into that pocket, but it could also be just a little bit.
Yeah, he made his money when they bought the franchise.
Basically, yeah.
Yep. So, furthermore, what
and
I was saying.
Therefore, I have to do.
So, I feel unnecessary poaching, killing them animals just because, they're a delicacy. If you're going to drive an animal extinct, that's a little too far and that should be regulated. Things like eating beef, things that we kind of, typically use on our day-to-day basis of, sustaining our, livelihood, that's fine. I feel like the better way to fix that is to try to treat more of them more humanely. Because obviously we can't feed millions of people with having tons of acres of land of happy cows. Like, that's impossible. So, like, if you take that point and, like, keep that there, I think that's good.
So that's what we're trying to work on with the lab-grown meat and stuff.
Yeah. Just, like, respecting the animals to that point.
Having cage-free grass-fed chickens
having
compared
more,
to
yeah.
All,
yeah.
all shoved in a little
having food. More, but we can't have all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's it's impossible. So, and, yeah, but I mean, like, you know, I'd go fuck up some people trying to kill some monkeys or something.
Steve, you're loving this, this man-made meat subject.
I do. Yeah. I think it's very interesting.
You are loving this.
Because I think it could solve a lot of issues, but it would also present a lot of issues too because of the agricultural industry.
Yeah,
as far as the economy, like
yeah, I think it would have some impact because they could eventually produce meat at such a low price.
Yeah.
With zero, basically yeah. little to no impact
and
on the
like
environment.
You said, and it would have an impact on the environment. It would be better. I mean, because these herds of
right.
cows
that's
producing
I mean.
Methane
yeah.
gas and things
I meant
like
no
that.
Negative.
Yeah.
And people are like, I don't know, it's grown in a lab. Like, to me, that's like a non-issue with a lot of it. I don't even think about
you're
it
absolutely
being in a lab.
Right, because so much, if you're eating any kind of packaged food that's like doesn't fucking deteriorate
food,
at
medication,
all.
Medication, you know, anything, yeah, you want it to go through laboratory type of cleanliness
yeah.
And stuff
and
like
I,
that.
I get your argument, but I still get, like, if you're telling me this is lab, you saying lab-grown meat
right.
is just... gives me the willies. Like,
it's
ugh.
Not appetizing.
Yeah,
well, it's just
not,
they're both grown.
It's like the same thing that you tell me, like when someone's like, "Oh, I eat like a peanut butter bacon shake." Like, what the fuck is that, bro? That's gross. Like, is that same level of like disgust?
Oh
to
no,
me?
I'm not saying it's easy to digest.
No. I just mean like the same level of disgust when people talk about it. I feel like that's one of the biggest things of it because ethically, people think it's wrong. But like, is it?
Wait, why is it? Why, it's not wrong.
Well, they just be like, it's weird. Like, it's not like...
It's not natural.
It's not natural,
is that what you mean?
Like we're eating
like
a fleshly being.
Yeah.
So, like, we're eating
well,
something...
Well, if they're inject... Well, what's natural? What is your body...
Just mean, like, you know...
What does your body need, though?
Just
it needs,
sustenance,
what,
yeah.
Vitamins and minerals.
Protein.
But right
yeah,
there,
yeah,
it, you know, if you ate Taco Bell in the 90s, you ate meat that was only 10% meat.
Yeah. So,
you know, if you ate Taco Bell in the
I guess.
Wet.
Is that like a.
Yeah, that came out.
Is
they're,
that true?
They're meat
now,
were,
or was that like a.
It was 30% meat. They were using meat that was only 30% beef all the way up until 2000 something.
What was the other 70%?
I don't know.
Things like
oh,
sand
I think that,
and shit.
That's like a big. That should be a big question.
It was just like shit, like soy and shit like that.
Like sand
like,
and shit.
You know.
I remember
is
sand.
That, is
being
it? Or is it like an urban myth? That's a, I don't know.
No, that
I think I remember hearing that.
No, that actually happened. Just
okay.
like Jack,
I don't know.
Jack in the Box back in the 90s got caught serving horse meat.
Yeah, but now.
Yeah, we're the biggest exporters of horse meat.
Are we?
Yeah.
That's because it's illegal to kill a horse here, so people usually send them out.
Yeah, see that?
No.
Feeding,
otherwise,
if it's
no
feeding
way
people, though. That need food,
yeah,
then good.
Absolutely.
But that's the thing when it comes back to, like, is it, what about humanity and things like, I went vegan for a couple of years. I am very empathetic towards, like, animals and human rights and stuff like that. It just, one day I was like, this isn't my fight, and I just chose to kind of go back to eating meat and everything. But when it comes to, like, mistreatment of animals and things, like, I can't watch videos on it. I have to, like, turn away.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Same.
Because... like they're just like the most innocent.
Yeah,
like, they're just them.
Like,
they're just them. And like anybody who hurts, like in animals
or
dogs or anything, they're just
even Michael Vick.
That to me is like the lowest form of human.
Fuck you, Michael Vick.
I loved you, Michael Vick, and you broke my heart.
I would literally go to jail if like you walked by and kicked my dog. Like
I'm
going to hurt you bad.
But that's why I do like the meat that they can grow. Like
I
would be. I guess I just don't have the willpower to really go vegan again,
it's
or vegetarian.
So it's
I think
it's really not. I just, if I'm honest with myself, I just like meat.
Well,
so I kind of, I'm just like either I got to look away and just whatever. But that's why if they can substitute with that with something that, to me, if they're injecting, I don't know, the vitamins and minerals you need. Okay, they're taking that in its raw form, and they're building something, and then giving it to you, and you're saying, and you taste it, and you're like, wow, this tastes just like meat.
What concerns me is consequences down the road. More than, I could get over eating a man-made meat, and deal with that and do it.
Yeah.
But what...
health concerns?
Yeah, health concerns down the road. Is it
going
to give me cancer in 20
years? Because your body
doesn't
process synthetic vitamins and minerals the way it does in natural... food.
It's the same reason I'm already trying to avoid GMOs to the best of my...
Yeah, GMO gets a bad rap, though.
It does. I mean...
I think just
It just depends.
Yeah, it's like it's they're either good or bad.
Yeah,
yeah.
You won't be able, you're not able to feed the people on this planet unless you genetically modify
and that's going to be
certain foods.
And that's going to be the dice throw almost. Is this going to work, or are we going to feed all these people and in 50 years all of a sudden, you know,
they're yeah, I think they're out, you're going to know when
that's
they
a
start
good question.
Well, I hope when they start feeding mass amounts of people with stuff that they grew in a lab, I would think that you kind of know what's in it. I would hope.
But you don't. I mean, look at...
I think it'll probably be as much as we know what's in our food now.
I would argue that after World War II, everyone stepped up to the plate and said, let's feed the world. And during the 1950s, these companies came out like Twinkie. Let's use that as an example. And people said, wow, look at this product. Look at its shelf life. We can feed the world with this. Mm-hmm. And now our generation has discovered that is really not good for you, that product. Nutritionally, it's not good for you. I think
it's not doing
with that
anything.
Knowledge, yeah. We have to be really careful of how we're going to, quote, feed the world.
Right, but we're talking about... Yeah, I understand that you want to know the long-term effects, sure. I think when this gets viable for large amounts of people, I mean, we're still progressing scientifically, and I think they'll just be able to kind of solve some of those issues. And I mean... The technology in the 50s of what they knew health-wise, they were still also pushing cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
You know what I mean? Like, doctors were like, hey, you should smoke cigarettes.
It's comfortable in the sense that they thought they knew it all.
Well, but yeah.
Well, we always think we know it all.
Exactly, but yeah. We're no different today. Our generation thinks we know it all because
we don't know it all.
Far from that.
No, because I think people are still striving for it.
I just think you can't find progress without mistakes.
Absolutely. Like, you got to go.
So, like, I mean, like...
I don't know if I want to be the mistake.
Well, of course not. But, like, I mean, even if that is true, even if you are the mistake, like, you're kind of benefiting humanity by being that person that holds.
I already took the hit in my childhood of everybody learning what not to feed your kids. And that's why I'm shaped the way I'm shaped today.
Whatever. We're shaped the way we're shaped.
Yeah, but you can turn around in an instant.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But we choose not to as a species. So you also have to look at that because people still...
I'm a terrible
eat the Twinkie.
Shit. Yeah.
It's not... We're not providing that as like we would meat to or something like that where it would go through like medication. Mm-hmm. Say if they were producing it to feed the hungry, they would process it like medication. So it might be up to a different level of standards than a Twinkie.
But in my childhood, my parents kept, my mom kept a fridge full of Mountain Dew and soda and orange soda and a fucking cabinet with Gushers and things that I had. Gushers, I just access whenever I wanted. That's what I drank all day was soda pop.
Yeah.
All fucking day. Would you
We would let your kid do that now. Because why wouldn't you at the time? It's like, it's new. It tastes fucking great.
Yeah.
I have money.
It's liquid, it must be hydrating.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's just like trial and error.
But if we're talking about stuff that has vitamins and minerals in it.
Yeah, of course.
And even then.
But I guarantee you give somebody who's starving and hasn't eaten in 30 days, you give them a Twinkie.
That's what I was going to say.
They're not going to be like, is this good for me?
And they're also going to get sick
of giving shit. They're going to be like, this is fucking food.
Yeah,
Twinkie me up, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, at what point do you rehabilitate that person and then tables shift to where now we've fed you, now you need to start considering what's going into your body?
True, right. But at what point
why do you automatically assume it's going to be bad?
Because there's some.
I guess I have optimism for the human race. Mm. That people will generally do good.
It's not that I don't have optimism for the human race. It's that I
you think they're automatically going to put bad stuff in it?
I don't think anyone is purposefully going to put something bad in your food. I would agree with you that the human race in general is very.
I think most people like Bill Gates, Elon Musk, like those guys are looking for solutions.
I don't think anyone is I don't think there's anyone diabolical out there like Dr. Evil trying to hurt the human race. But I do, as Josh said, we learn through trial and error.
Donald Trump.
I would say Rothschild.
Yeah, it's Donald Trump.
We learn through trial and error, though. There are people out there with the best of intentions. And with this, since we're talking about lab-grown meat... Mm-hmm. We don't know the long-term effects of this. It's also not...
we know the long-term effects of putting animals in cages that they can't move, they can't stand up, and things like that. We have to find
a back on subject
solution for that, because that right now is a broken system. Now, like I said, I'm empathetic to the farmers and stuff like that, but I'm also very empathetic to how they treat animals for food, which is absolutely disgusting.
Absolutely.
A daily basis when it comes to factory farming. I mean, it's, again, to eat meat, you just gotta, some people can just do it and just I really don't understand how they can kind of...
They don't even care, bro. They didn't think about
they
it.
Just have total apathy for it, and I just don't understand it. But that needs to change. And I think I, as a person, would be willing to roll the dice on the lab-grown meat technology that we're seeing just get better with itself exponentially each day, almost. I mean, it was only 3 years ago. It was like $500,000 for a burger. Now it's 11. So I think we're really working towards a really good solution to help these animals.
$500,000?
God.
Yeah, that's how much the first one cost to make. Yeah,
it cost to make.
Okay.
This is years ago. What'd you say?
So my thing, it was like 3 years or something really short. I think maybe 3 to 5.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we can work towards better treatment of animals, like, I'm all for it.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day.
Steve, have you ever thought about running for governor?
No, absolutely not. I would never.
No. All right. Never
mind. All right. So we love the animals.
So, yeah, consensus is everybody in this room is pretty...
We love the animals, yeah.
All right.
Pretty loving of the animals.
How much does everyone know about elephants?
A decent amount?
Okay. Yeah,
I would say a little.
Anyone want to share some quick tips that maybe I can use to segue into this?
Animals.
Don't they mourn the dead?
What was that?
They mourn the dead.
They mourn their dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not just like people.
They have been shown to mourn human beings.
Oh, if they're like close to them?
Sometimes if they're close to them. Sometimes it seems just out of respect. There was even a recent report of a mother in Africa who was with her baby boy and was trampled by an elephant. But before the elephant went into the tree line, it drug her body off the road, and it covered both of them. Elephants have a ritualistic burial process where they cover their bodies with dirt and tree limbs, and it performed this ritual on the woman it had killed and her son. So they've not been known to mourn other animals, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But they will mourn their own, and they will mourn for humans, which is incredible.
That's nuts.
You did say there was another study where somehow they found that elephants look at humans the way we look at puppies.
Yep.
Yeah, I read somewhere that they were doing brain scans on elephants, and that when elephants look at us, the parts in their brains that are activated are the same parts in our brains that react when we see a puppy.
Really?
That's wild.
That is wild.
There's an argument out there that elephants look at us and see us as cute.
Oh, wow.
But I've been looking for that all day, and I can't cite that article. So
probably came from Facebook.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, maybe that's made up.
A broken clock is right twice a day.
So this article, as I said, was written in 2006. Journalists traveled to Africa. Today's episode is primarily going to focus on African elephants, but I would like to point out that this phenomenon is taking place in Africa and Asia, which is where elephants are found. So this author, Charles Siebert, brought it to the world's attention that elephant violence towards humans is increasing. And he and his sources in this article make the argument that basically elephants are taking revenge, that the human race is putting so much stress on elephants as a species that they are starting to act out against us. Whether in revenge, or some are arguing that some of these individual elephants are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. In Africa specifically, when there were civil wars going on, elephants suffered big casualties along with human beings. There's stories in this article of militias driving by. If an elephant herd was in the way, they would just grenade them.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah. They would grenade them, and then they would drive on. They wouldn't stop to humanely kill any of those survivors. They would leave the dead and wounded on the road. This gets bad. We are learning that elephants are just as emotional as we are. As you said, they mourn their dead. Mm-hmm. And they mourn them for years. It's not a brief thing for them. When someone in the herd dies... What? Oh, sorry.
That's really loud.
I'm tapping on my paper, sorry. When a member of the herd dies, the whole herd mourns. they've been shown to stroke the body of the dead one. They bury it. They usually hold vigil over the body for days, sometimes weeks. And then years afterwards, they'll still return to the gravesite to visit. elephants are known to say hello by caressing each other's lower jaw with their trunk. They usually stick their trunks in the other one's mouth and stroke the teeth of the lower jaw. Wow. And people have seen them at these gravesites. They will still caress that spot on the carcass of their loved one.
Hmm.
So wow. They remember a lot. They feel so deeply. And so during these wars in Africa, as I said, you know, these elephants were, I mean, they were just being mowed down, whether by militias who wanted to get them out of the way, whether by farmers who needed them out of the way. I mean, parts of Africa are very poor. These elephants can do amazing damage to farms.
Yeah.
A lot of farmers, this is all they have, and so they have to fight the elephants off with everything they have, whether that means killing them.
This is kind of understandable to a certain extent.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you almost, as a human being, you wonder, what would I do?
Yeah.
Like if I was in their shoes, farmer.
Yeah. Kind of get it.
But also a lot of the militias to fund their wars were going after elephants and poaching them and selling the ivory.
That's a big problem.
So, all of these situations have fed into the current state of elephant herds now. Elephant herds have a very specific structure. They're matriarchal. They're led by females, and they're led by their elders. Elephants really rely on their elders. Their elders have an excellent memory, especially of the landscape, so the elders know where to go for water, where to go for shelter, how to traverse their landscape.
I was just going to say that the one thing I do know you're always told as a kid is an elephant never forgets.
Yeah.
Also, Gambino used it in a line. He's like, my dick remembers everything because an elephant never forgets.
Boom!
Big dick joke!
BDE! That and they're actually afraid of mice.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah, they did it on Mythbusters.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, they like literally tested like something that was the size of a mouse.
Yeah.
And they would like test it, but then they like uncovered something, and it was a mouse. And sure enough, the elephant was like, "Whoa!" Yeah, like legitimately jumped. They're like, "Oh my god, it's actually true."
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, so these herds have been decimated. A lot of the elders have been killed, leaving many young elephants on their own, whether orphaned completely or left to raise themselves. Almost, you could. Like Lord of the Flies, you know, a bunch of kids just out there on their own having to survive against this harsh environment. So in this article, this author shows, again, how elephant violence towards humans is increasing. Not just towards humans, but also to other animals.
And going back to what you said about the kids being left alone, I mean, that's, you know, some animals out there can do that, but the elephants, it seems, they really do need that family structure and almost do need,
that's interesting.
Almost okay. Do need to be raised just like a human would be.
Yeah, you know? Elephants are really of the it takes a village mentality because it's been proven that they stay within a certain range of their mother the first 8 years of their lives, and that range is like 15 feet or something.
Yeah.
For the first 8 years of their lives. And then they have aunties and grandmothers who raise them. As the females age, they are then socialized into the group. As the males age, they hit a certain point where they are then expected to leave the group and go out on their own. Even the males usually end up bonding with other males, and they form small groups.
That's wild.
They do sometimes, males can be rogue as well, mm-hmm. but a lot of times they will go off and form their own social groups. So socially.
It's so close to human, it's crazy. Like, I mean, that's just.
I guess there's got to be, though, if, you know. Of all the species of just life and all the different life forms on this planet, there's got to be, you know, we're at the top when it comes to, like, intelligence, but there's got to be at least, okay, what are the next ones down?
It's not even just intelligence.
So it's probably got to be elephants, dolphins, chimpanzees.
I think magpies are actually coming up the list.
It's not just intelligence.
Uh-huh. Yeah, birds are, like, stupid smart.
It's when you start to see the different personalities, though.
Yeah,
you
know, that's
like,
wild.
Like, you've got the ones that want to stay in a little group, and then you've got that kind of, like, weird one who wants to be on his own, and he's a little, maybe a little edgy or something. Maybe you're a little more aggressive on his own.
Yeah. Listens to
You're like Scar.
Yeah.
The uncle.
Yeah.
Who's like rogue, like that asshole.
Yeah.
Type of deal.
Yeah.
But I guess it makes sense. There's got to be some that are, you know, relatively close to us when it comes to intelligence, but also emotions.
Yeah.
I think, but we don't really kill them off like we killed off elephants. What would be dolphins, I think, would probably be like how the elephants seem to be, where you start killing off all the parents. It's going to be Lord of the Flies. They're going to be killing the pig, drinking its blood.
Yeah.
And I think dolphins would probably be like that, because they've said a lot of stuff with emotions with dolphins. Huh.
Well, I'll read this to you. Regarding elephant violence towards other animals, to quote this article, again, this article is Are We Driving Elephants Crazy? In the New York Times Magazine by Charles Siebert. Let's see. Since the early 1990s, for example, young male elephants in the Paleensburg National Park, and excuse me if I butcher the pronunciation of this, in the Hluluwe Umfolozi Game Reserve in South Africa.
How dare you?
National Parks, South Africa. Since the 1990s, young male elephants have been raping and killing rhinoceroses.
Wait, hold on. Excuse me.
There's more. Oh, wow. This abnormal behavior, according to a 2001 study in the journal Pachyderm,
has been. The whole study. Some guy just going, yeah, they're not supposed to do that. That's the whole study, dude. You just showed video to one guy. I don't think you're supposed to do that.
No,
right, that is abnormal, sir.
That's whole study.
Some guy watching them for years.
So this abnormal behavior has been reported in a number of reserves in the region. In July of 2005, officials in Paleensburg shot three young male elephants who were responsible for the killings of 63 rhinos, as well as attacks on people and safari vehicles. In Addo Elephant National Park, also in South Africa, up to 90% of male elephant deaths are now attributable to other male elephants, compared with a rate of only 6%.
It's fucking
in a more stable elephant environment.
Turn it into Detroit.
we need to ask the real serious question, and I think that's Josh. If there's an elephant coming at you, do you believe that you could outmaneuver an elephant?
No.
Really?
Wow.
I would have thought you, because I think I might have a good chance.
Okay. Hold on. Josh,
yeah.
You have a katana in your hand.
Oh, done. Yep. Cuts off that trunk. Done. Nope. Really? Wow.
Wow.
Elephant.
Josh draws
the
line.
They seem like, and that's where probably people get killed, is they seem overconfident with an elephant.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, I'm going
to. Yeah, they're in their circus, they're slow.
But as soon as they do it and get hit by the trunk and the side of the head, maybe they're over. You know, you'd like to think maybe you might be able to outmaneuver.
Well, elephants are kind of fast, too. Like, they can fucking move, bro. Like, they walk slow as fuck all the time, but
compared to the body mass, they can cover a lot of ground.
They can cover a lot of ground. Yeah, they can literally move, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's what I'm saying. No.
I want to think I might do that. I'd rather fight a bear. I probably wouldn't.
I'd rather fight a bear than an elephant.
That's ridiculous. That's an absurd statement. You'd rather fight a bear than you would an elephant?
Yep. With a katana.
With a katana.
That's absurd.
Or an LMG, but that's fine.
Why would you? A bear is coming at you with fucking knives for fingers, like Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, at least if he kills me, it'll be faster.
A 10-foot Freddy Krueger.
And I'll be happy that he kills me faster.
Okay, you might get trampled, and you might.
Yeah, he's just gonna be fucking hitting me. I'm like, God, stop!
So you're in for a quick death. Okay, I get that.
So this is interesting, though. Going back to the personality things, now you're seeing like almost sociopathic tendencies.
Yeah, raping rhinos.
Yeah,
raping rhinos?
You got
hold on.
Individual ones raping rhinos. You got other groups ganging together and just murdering people.
It's a tagline.
Murdering each other.
You know, you got elephant on elephant violence.
Sorry, this might be a really bad, like, whatever I'm going to say. But Raping Rhinos is actually kind of a cool band name. Just say.
Whoa, bro. Mm-hmm. Bro, we are an anti-sex offender podcast.
That's cool. That is cool. That's a pretty cool band name.
Raping Rhinos.
Andy Dwyer would be like, best band name this week.
I do appreciate the alliteration.
Yeah. Well, because we're not saying that whoever is raping rhinos, they could be raping rhinos. Like, they could be raper rhinos.
Right. Could we use another R word? Like righteous rhinos?
No, that's gay.
No, that's, raping rhinos.
Even better. Wow, what a comeback. good job.
I would like that on the marquee, raping rhinos. It's a good one.
This article goes on to say that the elephants of decimated herds, especially orphans who've had to watch the death of their parents and elders from poaching and culling, exhibit behavior typically associated with post-traumatic stress disorder and other trauma-related disorders in humans, which include abnormal startle responses, unpredictable asocial behavior, inattentive mothering, and hyperaggression, which I would argue you can also see sometimes in the backstories of serial killers.
Sounds just like, you know.
Now, this is a very extreme case. There are other stories in here that talk about captive elephants who also seem to be suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder who aren't exhibiting such violent behavior.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of this can be attested to their level of intelligence, because I feel like most animals that aren't, like, super intelligent, like, going through this, like, I feel like they might have stress, but they're not, like, really just, like, freaking out or, like, having, like, violent attacks on other animals. Like, they kind of just deal with it internally.
Yeah, it goes to emotional levels, too.
It's that's like, why dogs
have too. I was going to say, it's like pit bulls. Yeah.
They have PTSD.
Yeah, you know, you lock a dog in a cage all day and
fucking stress out. Very emotional animals. Yeah.
They're
smart as hell, too. Dog.
Yeah. And then you get these lazy-ass pit bulls who are laying around the studio here, who get pampered all day and only lay on couches or padded things. And
which is what every pit bull dreams of.
Yeah, and then you have...
What's on the dumb side of animals? We know what's really smart.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as anything larger than, like, maybe bugs. Yeah.
A sponge.
Lemmings.
Huh?
Lemmings.
Like, but actually, let's say, yeah. Lemmings? Yeah. Are they dumb?
Well, I think
they follow.
They fucking
just follow off a cliff, yeah.
They'll kill themselves just because the one in front of them did it.
Yeah.
But rats do that, too. They get tangled up and stuff, but they do. I know when they are younger, they just follow each other, and they follow the mom sometimes.
Rats are supposed to be incredibly intelligent.
Yeah, but they're incredibly intelligent.
Oh, are we back to the rats take over the world
subject? Rats are really smart.
Yeah, mice might be kind of dumb.
Mice may be dumber. They might just be their slower cousin.
No, there's got to be something something that's just dopey as fuck.
Yeah, what's like the dumbest?
Yeah, the flat earther of animals.
I don't even know. I just have like the platypus coming to mind because it looks like the dumbest.
Yeah.
Pretty sure platypus are pretty legit.
I don't know. What the hell's dumb as... What is dumb as hell?
Like, I think... I don't know if there's really anything that's dumb as hell, bro.
Absolutely there is. There's gotta be. Lemmings is probably a good call. Let's just go, bro.
Fucking and send it, bro.
Yeah. Maybe just the Red Bull guys of our generation.
I'm Googling like world's dumbest animal now.
Oh, yeah. I want to see what it is.
Yeah, I left my phone in my car.
I doubt it's a bird. Birds are usually pretty smart.
Pretty keen. Yeah. There's this bird at my job when I'm on my lunch breaks. He's a fucking dope bird.
We'll go with the very first thing that pops up. Four of the world's dumbest animals.
Okay.
Pandas.
Oh, yeah. Pandas, like, you gotta basically keep alive. Or they just, like, die. Like, seriously. They're like, I think they forget. Like, they don't fuck. They don't, like, they eat or anything. They are dumb as shit. I don't know why we're keeping them alive. I really don't.
Because they're adorable.
But they're just, like... Yeah, I have heard that they're so stupid they like forget to live. So
they often have no idea that they're
forget
pregnant
to live.
And give birth without realizing it.
Yeah,
like whoa.
Yeah, like
she might.
Because I'm all about natural selection too,
and they
like,
might just roll over on top of their newborn baby.
Yeah, oh just like
something called a kakapo, K-A-K-A-P-O.
Kakapo.
Kakapo.
That sounds
flightless.
Like a
it's a flightless
dog.
Parrot.
Oh fuck. God, he's probably just a fucking talking
turkeys.
Turkeys will drown themselves.
Yeah, turkeys
staring
are dumb.
At the rain.
Turkeys
oh, okay, I don't feel bad.
Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but people, that's like a common thing.
Yeah, they say that they
turkeys
look up.
Will stare at the rain and they'll, with their mouths open, they'll drown themselves.
God, that makes me feel so much better about Thanksgiving. Like, so much better.
That seems like that's got to be hard. You'd have to, it'd have to really be pouring down.
Yeah, also, you'd have to do it.
And you have
minute.
To be a dumb, stupid shithead.
Yeah.
To do that. Stupid shit.
The last is a cane toad in Australia.
Really?
What's so dumb about that? Well, I mean, he is from Australia.
They'll hump anything.
Why are you
hitting
on Australia?
Anything.
Are you Australian?
They hump dead animals for hours.
They hump dead animals?
Yeah. They'll hump a female that's been run over by a car.
Ducks love sex with dead animals. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and they rape. Like, they're bad.
God damn, bro.
Basically, the list just goes on to a bunch of dead things that cane toads will hump, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Wow, okay. So those are the four dumbest animals.
Those are the four dumbest animals according to
all right, interesting.
The fuck that
really does make me feel a little bit better about Thanksgiving, though.
Yeah,
turkeys.
Yeah.
Turkeys are pandas, annoying, though. Too. I had no idea.
Oh, pandas. Yeah, I did have that
so
idea.
They are, like, according to that, the dumbest animal.
Yep.
Pretty dumb, yeah. I don't think it didn't really give me an order. It just said four of the dumbest animals.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Well, have you guys ever heard of the intelligence test they do on dogs with the blanket, where they throw a blanket over the dog, and they observe to see how quickly it takes the blanket off and how it takes the blanket off.
Totally makes sense.
And they say the Basset Hound is the dumbest because it doesn't do anything. It just sits stands there.
Like, yeah, what up?
You gonna take this off or what, bro?
Yeah. Or they're really, really obedient.
Yeah, they're just really
patient,
chill.
Yeah. Maybe just chill.
It likes happy it. With all right, them. Cool.
Or they're so smart they know you're playing a game and just want to fuck with you.
Yeah.
So we don't know. We don't know. The Basset Hound, yeah, just like... Whatever, I'm just gonna turn off now.
Because it just feels like they're already falling off skin.
Yeah.
I guess my eyelid finally fell over my eye.
Is that what they used as like the detective dog in?
In something? I don't know.
No, yeah, and that one. What is it? Lady and the Tramp. I think the one trying to sniff the trail.
I think
you guys ever see Lady and the Tramp?
Yeah, it's been a while.
I'd say it's either that or whatever the fuck Shiloh is.
I thought that was like the Sherlock dog. Like that was always like the detective dog.
Bloodhounds are the Sherlock.
That's the bloodhound. Yeah. Okay. Basset
hounds. They're
smaller version.
They're squatty, but they have those long ears.
Just
and
dumb
they trip
as shit.
Over them.
Yeah, like,
they're like a wiener dog with.
They're bigger than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they are more like a corgi size.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
With the hound face and the long.
Okay.
Ears.
Did you know they use corgis in Russia for drug dogs? Drug sniffing dogs?
That's cool. They're incredibly
Speaking
smart.
Speaking of long ears, I actually heard elephants have they have so many veins in their ears. It's a cooling system. So they have so much blood rushing through their ears. When they start fanning their ears like this, they can actually drop their body temperature 8 degrees.
Oh wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Damn,
it cools. It's almost like a radiator cooling the blood.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot to drop your body
temperature
8 degrees.
Yeah. Holy cow. I wish I could do that.
Do you know how long it takes?
I do not, Josh. Okay, come on. I don't have sources and fancy
seriously.
Information like Miranda. I was getting high watching a National Geographic thing trying to prepare for this show.
There you go.
Warriors for the world, you and me.
While I was also playing a game on my phone.
Nice. What game?
I recently just started playing Angry Birds again, actually.
Fuck yeah. Is it number two or just...
Yeah, number two. Yeah,
I saw they made a number two, which
is
weird.
It's like, pretty fun.
Like, I was like, did you not make a number two before? Like, is my memory fucked?
No, they made a shit ton before, but now this is
But this one's number two.
It's number two. Sick. Yeah, you know. You get it.
Yeah.
You get it.
Well, some people have tried to adopt these orphaned baby elephants, but as we discussed before, when I say adopt, I mean, like, locals are trying to take them in, rehabilitate them, save them.
Okay.
But as Bart I'm not saying they're being shipped to Denver for people to adopt.
Like, what the fuck?
But as we said before, elephants are incredibly social creatures, and without the socialization of their herd, a lot of these babies just don't have the will to live, and they end up dying out of loneliness.
Oh, God.
Same thing happens to fucking, what are those sugar gliders? If they don't have a companion, they die.
Oh, God,
say that,
so
again, it really reminds me of, like, pit bulls specifically, you know, or... Because we have three dogs. Our Catahoula Tula could care less if she's around other dogs. But pit bulls almost...
Really?
They need that company. They need to be touching, laying.
Yeah.
The human.
Or each other.
Anything,
or each other. If you have five pit bulls, when they sleep, you'll see five pit bulls laying ass to head.
Oh, really?
In a big old pile. Yeah.
Carmen has to have her paw touching you.
Yeah.
Some part of you when she's sleeping.
If you look under the table right now, you see the two pit bulls laying against each other. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
Tula doesn't care.
On top of my feet, touching each other.
Yeah.
Like it's,
okay.
The bigger the pile they can be in, the better they feel. You know, they're a super pack animal.
Oh, interesting.
But, yeah, so this is, I don't know where to go from here. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
No worries.
Good. No worries. So you were saying there's a place trying to kind of fight for their rights, and...
I was telling you about that earlier.
You might want to end with
that. I'll come to that in a minute. As I said before, this article, reading this article again has... kind of made me think that maybe I need to start donating to some more causes, especially related to elephants. There is a particular organization in Africa. I think it's called the David... Let me see. It's right here. The David Sheldrick Wildlife Trust in Kenya. It was opened by a game warden in Africa. He and his wife opened this trust specifically to rehabilitate orphaned baby elephants and baby rhinos.
Mm-hmm.
And the process they go through... of getting these youngsters rehabilitated is incredible. First, they'll bring the elephant in, and then a trainer has to be with the elephant 24 hours a day. And they rotate shifts so that the babies don't become too attached to any one trainer in particular. That way, in case, you know, a family emergency comes up or something and the trainer has to leave, even the loss of that trainer could devastate the baby to the point where they could die.
Wow. Fuck.
I mean, they're that social. So not only do they switch up their trainers in order to socialize the babies, but also just to plan for emergencies. And the babies spend, I mean, years at this rehabilitation center until they're ready to start taking them out into their whole goal is to rehabilitate them back into the wild. So these elephants are raised in a human herd. And then they go through a transition period when they're older.
I totally imagined just like 5 or 6 humans running in like triangle formation with an elephant like in an enclosure.
So while they're being raised, it's just one elephant with a group of humans.
Sorry,
because I would think they need to be socializing with.
Yeah, they usually have. I think when I read the website last weekend, they had about 10 to 15. Babies at the foundation right now that they're working with.
And then they would be released as a...
And they're slowly released when they're older. It's a very slow process. The organization has like an overnight pen for them. So as they start taking them further and further from the foundation. And then the elephants have the choice to start joining the herds that invite them on their own. Hmm. And then at night, this pen is always open for them to come back, always. So these elephants, once they choose to leave the foundation, sometimes they'll return like a year later with their baby. They'll come back to the night pen just to introduce the baby to their human grandmothers, you could say.
Wow. That's nuts.
That's incredible.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's so cool. That is amazing. So this trust in particular is doing a lot of really good work for these orphan baby elephants, trying to restore balance to these elephant herds, that have been decimated. Even some of the game wardens are introducing, they're kind of relocating older male elephants into regions where they've seen violence, and, they're noticing that doing this, the older bulls will come in and establish dominance and establish hierarchy.
And more of a peace.
More of a structure, yeah. And it really calms the young ones down who are kind of wilding.
I was going to say, not just rehabilitating to the environment, but rehabilitating to the idea that humans are okay, too.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're seeing these, war mongers or whoever, So, I mean, they obviously, you're going to hate humans, so it's nice to imprint that on them
as
well.
Yeah, that's huge,
And again, this focuses on the African elephant. I think the Asian elephant situation is completely different because Asian elephants have been partially
worse?
Domesticated.
Oh.
I mean, there are wild Asian elephants,
but... they're smaller, too, aren't they?
They're a little smaller. Their ears are much smaller. But they, I mean, they're used in Indian culture. They
I know
are,
nothing about, like, in mainland China culture. Like, what goes on? Because I know it's, like, the country... You know what I mean? Like, here we have country. That's, like, all country. So so they just have, like, domesticated
elephants
chilling around?
Some people use
smaller.
Them.
Smaller?
Yeah.
I watched a video the other day where part of India had suffered flooding from the monsoons, and someone brought their elephants in to go into the towns that had been flooded and help people out of the town because they could put these people up on the elephant's back, and the elephants could wade through the water that would drown us.
That's really cool.
But at the same time... there are also wild herds in India that are suffering habitat loss, that are being harassed by farmers who are seeking revenge on local villages, who are coming into villages with the intent just to cause destruction.
Mainly in India?
It's also been seen in Africa. This article is talking about a worldwide event here that it's just coming to a head. And again, this article is from 2006, but it's still relevant. This stuff is still going on today.
And going back to their kind of empathy.
It's got to be worse.
I would think so. Yeah. Habitat loss
is
more.
Telling me a story about one elephant that destroyed a village or came through a destroyed village and heard a baby crying and actually went back for it.
You
couldn't confirm that one, you said?
I couldn't, but it's not the only mention of an incident like that where an elephant came into a village, destroyed everything, and then after it left, it came back to help a human being. or to make sure said, like, baby was all right.
One, like, when,
no.
I was like, man, this is a dark story.
This article, though, talks about how there's a there villages in Africa have taken almost medieval measurements to protect themselves against elephants because, you know, these villages building are up ropes. Against the tree line and the elephants
they can
wait.
Swim.
Yeah.
These so the elephants will wait until night or until it's foggy or they will really plan their attack before they stampede these villages. So there's one village in this article that has a moat, a dry moat built around the village to protect them from the elephants. It's like 20 feet wide, 15 feet deep, and it's filled with just jagged sticks, like anything that could injure something that fell into it. And again, like, we're Americans. We can't possibly imagine this lifestyle. We can't imagine being that poor. Having
that's
that much
to
lose with your farm.
Our land's been cleared out for us. You know, if we want, if I want to buy acres of farmland, it's ready to go. You know, and I don't have to go clear bears and fucking mountain lions off the piece of mountain land I want to go live on here.
Yeah.
You know? Not anymore. But yeah, and you know, not too long ago, we Americans went through and systematically killed out the wolves.
Yeah.
I mean, we almost caused them to go extinct. There used to be wolves in Colorado. There aren't anymore. Yeah. They're trying to
wolves are terrifying. Terrifying creatures.
Yeah. Oh, man.
My favorite animal.
That's a pack animal on a mission.
Holy cow.
That is a scary pack.
You ever see, like, forget how big they are. You think they're like a dog?
They're not.
Like
they're
a big dog?
They're like this fucking big, bro.
They're fucking, yeah, they're huge.
They're
fucking
huge. Oh, they're huge. They're not, they're not coyotes and they're not dogs.
They're huge, they're bro. Big,
yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't fight a wolf.
Yeah.
Wow, something you wouldn't fight.
Yeah.
And an elephant.
And an elephant for some reason. Yeah.
Oh, I got a eagle figurine for your D&D character today.
Nice.
It's a bald eagle.
Oh, yeah, you guys are going to be playing some D&D.
Yeah, we played last night.
Have you been playing?
Yeah, we played last night.
Okay, get a little crazy in here?
Yeah.
Go Dragonborn!
Yeah, they're both Dragonborns.
Yeah, I don't know what any of that means. So it's inside, not just like, an inside joke, but inside Dungeons and Dragons joke.
Miranda eviscerated two goblins with her fire breath last night.
I tried.
One fail swoop.
Wow.
He means that
on a Sunday? That's a crazy Sunday.
It's a crazy Sunday. Yeah.
It is.
So,
I don't want to wrap this up because, I mean, this just goes so many directions, but, I was telling Greg earlier, I think a good ending point for this subject is, I was reading an article today in November, this past November, an animal rights group in Connecticut filed, a suit against the state. They're suing for the, quote, personhood of three elephants in the Connecticut Zoo. So this animal rights group is arguing that based on what we're learning about elephants, they display the intelligence, the self-awareness, the understanding, and compassion. So they not only are aware of themselves, but they are aware of others. Aware of the needs of themselves and the needs of others, to the point that this group is arguing that they are non-human persons. That they have the right to be taken...
Yeah, I can absolutely
seriously,
get on board with that.
Like in the sense that we are, and that their freedom should be taken seriously. Now that suit was filed in November. The judge threw it out in December, stating that this group does not have a personal relationship with these three elephants that they're suing for.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah.
But this is not a new idea.
I know, with them trying to sue, like you don't know them. You know, it's not like suing on somebody else's story.
Yeah.
No, but the thought of a group suing for the rights, for the personhood rights of an animal is not new. There was a group in Argentina who sued for the personhood of a local chimpanzee that was kept in a zoo, and they won their suit. That chimpanzee was freed and
I've heard of that
sent
happening.
To a sanctuary.
They also did it with dolphins in somewhere, saying that,
like
that dolphins
World
were
or?
Non-human persons. Yeah. I think it's the language that gets people.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on how you
I think
word
that's it.
It.
These people did specify they're not suing... They're not saying that an elephant can share the equal responsibilities of being a human being.
But do they
I know,
the
but
same
talking
rights?
To people
but
and
it,
thinking how people think when it comes to common sense and talking to the average human, like, they might not even get past the word person. That ain't no person. But it's like, that's not what we're saying.
It's a sentient creature that feels understands.
I feel like a better word is more of like an intelligent individual, like, or something like, you know, like a being even. Like, because when you said persons, it caught me a weird way because I know how people will react to that.
Well, the term itself is a non-human person.
Well, yeah, but still, but like, but here's my concern is like, you know, because we're kind of reaching the level of like AI stuff. Which I know you just kind of heard on the Elon Musk interview.
Yeah.
Like, at what point do we give, you know, rights to things? Because, like, that kind of gets dangerous in a slippery slope.
I'm not arguing for the rights of all things.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, like, it can get out of hand. Once it happens once, it can happen again.
It's already happened once.
I think the something that knows it's captured, something that feels, something that understands, has the right to at least not be imprisoned.
I agree.
Right. Yeah. So I don't think you're talking apples and apples here. I think you're talking about something different. Yeah.
I understand where you're going, that this could set a precedent for some very hard questions in the future, but I don't think that should stop us from doing the right thing now.
Steve's point was saying was it's the language, how you word it. Because
that's it.
Because, like I'm saying, like, you know, if we say, like, non-human person.
Absolutely. All these people who are cutting Nike symbols off their shirts right now and burning.
If you talk to the average human, you say, hey, I want to legalize weed. And they're like, oh, no, I don't think that's good. And you're like, hey, I want to legalize Delta 9 tetrahydrocannabinol or something like that, which is the chemical name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to do it for medical research purposes of cancer. To be like,
and it'll bring in $2 million a year in tax revenue.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And they'd be like, why wouldn't you do that?
I'm going to argue that this animal rights group was not speaking to the everyday idiot. This animal rights group did it the legal way. They went the legal route and they filed it directly with the state, and a judge had to consider
this. But that's why language is even more important, because once you write something into law, non-human person, that applies to anything that's a non-human person.
But
so
still,
same thing as like a sentient being like, you know, an AI. Like that is literally a loophole that people could use in the court of law.
I could see it being like a conservative judge who's backed by like all these, you know, this different conservative money, and they're like, that ain't no person. You hear me? You were not going to pass this because that ain't no person.
There ain't no person.
You know? Can I have a relationship with that person then? A sexual relationship? Is that what you're going to tell me now? Like, this is how people think sometimes. You think, like, when we said, oh, gay marriage. Oh, am I going to be able to marry a chicken next? It's like, Is that a serious question of the judge? Is he? Because this is Connecticut.
It's kind of a true thing, because, like, here's one
conservative.
I'm just saying the southern accent doesn't work on a Connecticut impression.
Not your particular judge. He's just saying this guy's out there.
Because what I'm saying is, like, look, we have something, like, you know, that has sparked an entire, this is kind of off topic, but, like, the whole, like, you know, thing with a gay marriage.
He's going to try to bring it back to Kanye.
Gay marriage, and, like, you know, this whole, like, you know, disassociative gender type thing that's going on. Like, people don't want to, like, be a certain gender, like gender fluidity, like 72 genders, whatever the fuck. Like, what I'm saying is, like, that has led to people discussing the rights of pedophiles and the rights of bestialitists. Like, that's the right word. That sounds like the right word.
Yeah, that's absurdity.
My point
anybody
is,
who chose to have a conversation,
well, first off, I'm going
to
ignore the fact.
Well, but I know, but, like, that's becoming a movement.
Right, but that's not. It seems like it would be in the same conversation as this, but it's not.
Okay,
it's
my fear. Is what I'm saying.
I feel like this very conversation is doing a disservice to this monumentous thing that this animal rights group did.
No,
I'm
100%.
Not interested in what this could lead to. I'm interested in the fate of these three elephants that this animal rights group has stood up for. These things don't have a voice.
Yeah, but it got thrown out. We're saying it might have been the language.
This got thrown out. Yeah, I think, personally feel maybe it got thrown out on a technicality by a judge who probably didn't want to deal with this. This is, as you said, a judge is going to have to deal with what could this lead to.
Yeah.
If I were a judge, I don't really want to work on this. Like, I have other things on my plate, and it was thrown out on a technicality.
Mm-hmm.
The animal rights group has already declared that they're going to appeal, that they're going to go the necessary channels to follow the rules, to establish a personal relationship, maybe even bring someone into the suit who already has a personal relationship with the elephants. It's going to keep going. The judge himself was quoted as saying this was a frivolous idea.
Yeah. Well, and see, I'm not trying to be like saying like it's a terrible thing.
Right? That's
frivolous idea?
And
you're already like biased.
The animal rights group came back at him and said there is a difference between frivolous and novel.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'm just saying, like, it's more like, I think to benefit the movement, correct language, be more precise, be more collected, be more accurate at what they want to achieve.
No, I think this is,
and that's what I'm saying,
the term that you have to use. This is almost an international term.
Non-human person. I'm just trying to think of something that would be
better
to really not confuse it in the least of anybody, just has any, not give anybody wiggle room
like a non-human life.
Like, I don't know why you would argue.
I mean, like a non-human existence. Like, I mean, not existence.
That could
everything.
Existence
really is
a non-human life. A life.
That could be a plant.
Everything's a non-human life.
Yeah.
Well, so, no, because it has to be living. It can't be like, if you make technology, that's not living.
Yeah, but we're talking about how do you give this particular animal that is above and beyond other animals, that is mentally and emotionally apart
maybe
from everything.
It has non-human emotions. Mm. Maybe just something like that.
No, but it has emotions similar to humans, more than humans. I don't think that's fair to say non-human emotions.
But they're not human emotions because it's not a human. It's as simple as it.
Right.
But we can't have the monopoly on emotions. That in itself is elitist.
But we also...
he's just saying they're not...
We also own the world. So, I mean, like...
You're saying they're just not...
They're not human. So, like, it is a term to say they are not human emotions.
It says they're non-human persons. It already says they're non-human.
But
you're saying persons own something that the animals don't.
Yeah, because, like...
But then they're non-human. So it is kind of negating what you're trying to say.
I don't know, bro. It's a tough thing. You'd have to take...
Let's define person.
Non-human,
I think you're
person.
Such person who would just be individual, to be honest.
Non-human cognizant.
Okay.
Entity, I don't know. I'm trying to think about
number one is a human being regarded as an individual. Number two is a category used in the
classification. Okay, so take out the non-human part.
Hold on.
What is the first thing?
A human being regarded as an individual.
So a non-person non-human. Regarded as an individual.
Yeah.
So that does make sense.
Number two, definition of person. A category used in the classification of pronouns, possessive determiners, and verb forms according to whether they indicate the speaker, first person. Okay, that doesn't have anything to do with this.
So like you said, it does, I mean, it is kind of, I guess.
Like, person is very human. It's a very human thing.
It does say the legal group contended that, quote, person and, quote, human being have never been synonymous. You don't mean the same thing. Rather, it is up to the courts to define. Silly thing. It is up to the courts to define who or what constitutes a legal person.
Yeah.
And that's something we haven't defined in our court system yet. So no matter how much we search for it online,
and so that's
it's
exactly
not defined
what I was saying.
Yet.
Because if they define a person as, like, you know, it could be.
Yeah, I guess we've taken things for granted, like. Like, that's a person that's not, like, yeah, of course, dude, but you really need to define that?
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I'm just saying, like, once they define it.
So I guess now we got to define it.
Yeah.
So I guess, because we haven't defined it up until this point, now we got to define it. We just kind of include, okay, we got human persons, and we got non-human persons. We just need to make a list. Again, this could be one of the things that we saw in the show. Mm-hmm. Done. We got a list. Human persons, us. Non-human persons, elephants, Dolphins, chimpanzees.
Well,
you know,
you
boom.
Can even take it to
I just made it happen.
Boom.
Animal person.
Mic drop.
I like it. I like it. You
know? Persons of the animal kingdom.
And that's it. We've defined it because we haven't done it yet.
Well, the article also states.
You're welcome, everybody.
Solving the
done.
World's
and
problems.
We weren't doing mysteries until next week.
The article also says, quote, the historical struggles over the legal personhood of human fetuses, human slaves, Native Americans, women, Jews, and non-human entities have never been over whether they're human, but whether justice requires that they count in the law. The petition stated, these are the names of the elephants. Shh. Oh, it's poorly licking your face. Sorry. The petition states that Bula, Minnie, and Kare that because Bula, Minnie, and Kare are elephants does not mean that they may never count as persons for any purpose.
I mean, like,
I just think, I guess we're coming to a point as a, it totally makes sense that we're coming to a point as a society that we need to define some shit.
Yeah. It just needs to be
that's
discussed.
It. Like, hey, the U.S., we got to define a language. Let's go with English slash Spanish. Like, that's it. Kind of like, English and French in Canada. We're going English and Spanish. So, it's defined. Let's
move on. We're reaching a point where we're recognizing.
I can do an Excel spreadsheet, bro. I got you. Man. Non-human persons and human persons. It'll take me like 5 minutes.
Yeah. We've reached a point. We found.
I can tweet it.
We found this breed that is it's above an animal and below us. We'd like to think.
Yeah.
And
octopus is on there.
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh,
they're definitely on there.
And you got some of these animals, the smartest of these categories, got to be smarter than some of the dumbest humans.
Oh, seriously. Absolutely. Yeah, they're definitely fighting for like...
Yeah,
you know, they get on that list.
They natural selection.
I have for sure in the past 2 weeks served some people dumber than these elephants in question.
Than basset hounds.
Yeah.
Seriously,
I've served some panda level people.
Panda people. I got a panda person at my table.
I've served some fat white trash ladies who probably don't know they're pregnant.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my exactly. God. Roll over on their young.
Yeah. They went to the bathroom for a couple hours. Uh
oh. Oh.
There goes. Here comes a baby. Yep.
So yeah, these are really cool. I do. One more time for our viewers. What's the name of that organization you can donate to?
It is.
Have you researched it?
I did.
That's the problem I always feel with these things. Like, I would love to give
you
to
know that they're
things.
Really. You want
to
know your money.
Like, I want to hit the yes button when I'm checking out.
If I'm giving you $50, I want to know that $49 of it's going to
it's
the cause.
It's a pretty cool organization. Yeah. You can actually... Go ahead.
I understand, you know, business costs, and you're running.
You have to.
Yeah.
To make it happen, to get those other dollars.
But I want
to
know 70% of my donation.
At least,
going.
Right?
I know something, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd like to point out that these two organizations, they're not zoos.
Hey.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't something you can go to Africa. I don't think you can visit this place. This is a home for orphan persons, non-human persons, who have suffered traumatic events. Who are literally fighting for their lives. I don't think this is a place you can go to, but
I just
want to
see the guy driving off in a Rolls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's it. Like
the Bogwan. Yeah. You don't want to see that.
He's got spinners.
Yeah, the Bogwan.
Yeah.
Why does he have so many Rolls Royces? Yeah.
But this organization in Kenya is called the David Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. I was already looking. I think I would like to sign us up to foster one of the baby elephants. You can donate $50 annually, and you are then a foster parent.
You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? That's one more animal under the belt. that's why not?
Why not? Another organization you might consider donating to is the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee. They take in abused captive elephants from circuses, zoos.
Oh, those things are still going on. I see like a circus like train. I'm like, what? What year is it?
Yeah.
You know, like circus is still happening.
Yeah.
Maybe Cirque du Soleil, but I wouldn't. You know.
Yeah.
That's about it. But they sure enough, Barnum and Bailey's still trucking around. Man.
Yeah. These guys take in abused elephants from captivity, and they give them a place to live out the rest of their lives.
That's cool.
And that website's really cool. You can actually go online and like watch videos of them interacting with each other. All the elephants have a bio. You can read about them and who they're friends with and what their history is. And it's kind of beautiful.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That's a lot of times why I stay away from stuff like the fair, too.
Yeah.
Like, I just go there and I see, like, these... Yeah, just these things.
Again,
I have to be detached from it. Yeah. If I had to... Like, if we had to forage for our own food, I would definitely be a vegetarian, for sure.
Really?
Like, I don't know if I could be killing... I just don't have it in me. But it is. Maybe that's why I don't hunt. Or anything, which is, again, I don't have a problem with hunting because most hunters are some of the most environmentally conscious people.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, I go to those fairs and things. First of all, people are like riding around on animals, and then they're like, they come accompanied a lot of time with like a rodeo.
Yeah, like what the fuck?
Which to me
is
just like, ugh.
What is a rodeo?
Really?
Like, what the fuck? Like, you literally.
It's just, a fucking ridiculous.
It's just dumb, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's a dumb sport, in my opinion.
It's an event, man. They do a bunch of different sports. They have like the bull riding where they tie a rope around the bull's testicles.
And then they put
and they
shit
get on.
It.
They're like, I'm going to try to see how long I can last on here. And then, you know, I'm rooting for the damn bull at that point.
Yeah. This is where I'm a hypocrite because that's part of my history.
It's hard because I've been to two rodeos and I enjoyed it and had a good time. And it's, but I'm all for it. If you say we're ending all this shit, need to end all of it.
Yeah.
I don't support it.
Yeah. And you're right. It's, you know, that's one of the areas, like I said, with zoos. I'm torn. And,
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I definitely,
sure
at one point in time in my life, was a mutton-busting champion.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, 100%.
Champion?
I rode a fucking sheep.
That's when they have the kids ride the sheep.
I rode the fucking sheep for the first and only time.
You have to ride it from, this end of the arena to the end. You have to hang on.
I mean, no, riding an animal last, really isn't that bad.
But that's so they can grow up and ride bulls later.
You had to last 10 seconds. And I lasted that fucking 10 seconds and won a fucking basket full of stuffed animals. It was lit.
Oh, wow. 10 seconds on one of those?
Last time we went to, what was it, the stock show rodeo or something we went to? Mm-hmm. That little rodeo we went to, they had the kids do the thing, and there was like 11 kids, but they only had 10 trophies for them. So there's this one little boy standing in a line of kids who all had trophies, and he's just sitting
there. Trophies bigger than them.
Yeah.
It's not like you could hide it or be modest.
All these kids have trophies
for, like,
bigger than them.
Different events or something?
No, they all just did the mutton busting thing, and they all got a trophy. They just didn't have enough, and there's one kid just not with a trophy. It was
sad.
It was sad, but so funny.
Yeah, could learn a good lesson that day.
Yeah, that trophies don't mean shit.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good fact.
Exactly, but yeah, I can't stand those things. I won't go to them.
Yeah, so what I was saying is, I've been a mutton busting champion, but if they're like, "Yo, fucking bull riding out of here, 100%," I'd be down for it, bro. Because don't they also put some shit on their testicles that like burning? They're like, "Oh fuck!" Like, yo,
no, they just tie the rope.
Dude, even riding the horses, like you see. Like, you ever see a horse with the thing in its mouth? Like, oh, they can't be comfortable. Rains.
Yeah.
Hitting the horses, they're going around. Like,
I'm going to argue, though, that had a practical use back in the day.
What year is it, though?
2018.
That's fine. It was back in the day. It had a practical.
Raising cattle to feed the world.
Again,
you still need cowboys.
I think we're past that point. Yeah.
No, I'm not paying $11,000 for a burger.
So you can do it. You can get on
a four-wheeler.
We're not
there yet.
Round up
the
stuff.
Four-wheeler.
They do that all the time. You don't have to do that to horses. You just don't. Same thing when it comes to horse racing and stuff. I don't know. I don't see the need for it. I think we're better than that.
Sometimes it's not even. What do you mean you don't have to do that to horses? Sometimes horses are going to buck anyway. If you're going
to
ride a
horse. You don't have to be on the horse. When am I ever on a horse? I'm not. It has not affected my life whatsoever.
You're not in a culture that would require that. There are some people out there who still are.
Cultural views. And cultures throughout the world, they still cut off clitorises and stuff like that. We need to change your views.
Those cultures.
What I'm saying is you can't just say it's culture and give that a pass. Because there's a lot of things that they do in cultures that are just negative.
There's some things that aren't, though, especially with horse whisperers. I mean, I listened to an NPR episode the other day about a Native American man who works with horses, who still rides them. He argues that the horse and the human have kind of a symbiotic relationship through getting to know each other.
Yeah, but it's not Avatar. We don't need that. Like, we're still not, like... I think we're better than this.
I have heard in the case of the horses, like, I mean, that they're not miserable.
I've heard, like,
it's... not.
Well, it's also, until I hear that out of a horse's mouth, like, I don't believe it.
I think it's also because they've been kind of been bred to do so. Like, they have... been bred through generations and through...
You could say that about slave culture and other cultures right now. There's a lot of slavery going on.
Yeah,
and they've been bred through that. So they would argue that same thing.
Yeah, but like it's
that's
like...
That's a good point.
That is a good point. But if they don't know any different, like would they want
same
more?
Same thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like if they know nothing else...
400 years of black slavery in this country.
Where do you draw
a lot of those kids
between,
didn't know different.
Where do you draw the line between owning a slave, owning a horse, and owning a dog?
So I would say, you know, a horse could be non-person humans.
Really? They're not self-aware, though. You show them themselves in a mirror, they don't recognize it.
I have never been a horse, so I can't specifically say that.
I'm just saying right off the bat, elephants can already do that.
The only argument I can say to the people that own their horses and say they have these relationships and say they know their horses is happy is I can only relate to I own five animals.
Yeah.
And I know their moods. I know if they're happy. I know if they feel well taken care of.
So people might argue the same thing with horses. They might say the horses are absolutely... they absolutely have emotions. They get down or something like that. I don't know. I haven't spent enough around horse culture. I'm just saying as a species for us on how strong we are, we don't need to do that with horses anymore.
I agree. We don't need to, but I don't feel like it's really harming the horses is what we're trying to say.
Yeah. I've seen those things in their mouth.
Well, I mean,
horses and stuff.
But I just mean a simple horse that you have on your ranch that maybe you ride. And if you build that relationship, my family has had plenty of horses and I've seen that relationship with them. Like, you know, there's even this time where I might have mentioned on the podcast before, but the horse, you know, where my little cousin believed he was communicating with my late grandfather. mm-hmm. at the time, you know, because he helped him push his bike through the dirt because he was little and he couldn't do it himself. So the horse came down and pushed the bike for him. So, like, there is human connection with horses and stuff. Like, I know that is a fact.
Right, yeah.
So I think some horses probably are, you know, probably put in situations that they really hate or are abused.
Maybe. But I just think Rover, like, horses. Like, all right, we can.
Yeah, we don't need to do that.
That's what I'm saying. So it's either, like, we're doing him a service or we're doing him a disservice at this point. And I'm going to go towards a disservice. That, at the end of the day, that's what I think. I'm not saying they're beating the hell out of every horse out there or that they're in the worst pain and just suffering like these horses suffered or the elephants suffered or how the, you know, those killer whales are in SeaWorld. I'm just saying I don't think we need to be treating them like we do still.
That's fair.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're treating them the worst because I've seen how well people treat them too. So,
yeah.
That's it.
I can see your point.
Yeah.
I can also say I am going horseback riding in 2 weeks, too. Again, I ride a fine line of hypocrisy with animal rights.
I think we all do, though.
Yeah.
I think there is that because you can't be everything to everybody.
Yeah.
So you got to just – that's like when I started eating meat again. I'm just like, this isn't my fight kind of deal.
It's like, I fucking love burgers, bro. Like, don't get me wrong. I love burgers. It is my favorite.
Yeah, we'll see how well you like them when they're lab-grown.
If they taste good, bro. And if I don't get cancer, which I won't know for years.
And again, like 2 weeks ago, I ate a burger from 7-Eleven. God knows what I ate.
Yeah, no, that's...
Yeah, I guarantee that's worse than a fucking lab
burger.
Yeah. So, you know, again.
You know what I mean? It'll be 2020 before you're able to eat one, or 2022. Yeah. And by that time, lab-grown burgers are going to be better than 7-Eleven burgers.
Yeah. Well, everybody, we are reaching that time. So, you know, message of the day, if you have animals, be nice to them. If you see an animal, be nice to it.
Stop treating animals like shit.
Yes. Donate to the elephant funds.
Donate to the elephant funds, or we will start getting Sarah McLachlan on here to start singing to you.
Ooh, I'd never do that.
We all know you don't
want
that.
I'll do it to you.
Yeah, if you want to go
sing
vegan,
it, Josh.
Watch the movie Earthlings.
Other than that, guys, hey, go on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars. Leave a comment.
Tell a friend.
You know, this week it's all about us. It's not about you, okay? I want you to really focus on this podcast this week. I want you to tell a friend. I want you to, if you don't have iTunes or you don't have an iPhone, find a friend who does. I guarantee you one of your friends has an iPhone. You can take it, go on the podcast app, rate us 5 stars, leave a comment. Other than that, make sure you follow us, SP Weird World, at your favorite social media.
You son of a bitch. Instagram, please.
And Twitter. Josh loves doing stuff on Twitter and Facebook. Josh loves Twitter. He loves Facebook. I want you to just comment on Twitter, comment on Facebook. Make sure Josh has to comment you back. Other than that, you can follow Josh at Josh Hartco at Twitter.
And Instagram. motherfucker.
And you can follow me at Greg's Weird Worlds. And Steve's around.
Yep.
Miranda's not around.
Nope, I'm gonna go dissolve back into the wall paint after this. That's where I live, like Wednesday Adams. Tula has something to say.
She's saying, "Hey, follow me, motherfucker."
I think she was saying, "Hey guys, you know what?
Keep it weird.
Keep it weird."
Well, I never knew anything like that in the whole of my life.
Nice.